Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And happy weekend. Welcome to another edition of Focus on Community. Frank Rush along with you. This weekend, we're going to talk about a lot of different things with a DNR officer, conservation officer, Max Winchell joins us today. And that's the part that we want to clear up. What's the difference between the Department of Natural Resources and conservation officer? Well, how does that work?
Frank, I work for the Department of Natural Resources. So right. The Department of Natural Resources has many different divisions, Division of Water, Division of Forestry, Division of Fish and Wildlife. I work for the Division of Law Enforcement. Okay. So we enforce all state laws, and we also enforce all the other division laws, Division of Water laws, Fish and Wildlife laws, boating laws, other outdoor recreation laws.
Basically, you are the same thing as a state trooper, except you wear green instead of blue, and you drive a pickup instead of a car.
to make There's it a few simple. Other differences.
Yeah.
We go to the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy. We have our own academy. We investigate all types of crimes throughout the year. But primarily, we try to focus on fish and wildlife, other outdoor recreation laws, boating laws, like I said.
And there's a lot of things that you have to know about when it comes to state law, when it comes to fishing, boating, hunting, and that kind of thing.
Any law enforcement officer, there's a lot to know.
Yeah.
It's just incredible the amount of information that that you have to know, or at least, you know, if I don't know something, I have to know how to find out.
Right.
And that's the thing. Don't do something if you don't know the answer, find out.
How long have you been at this now?
That'll be 25 years this year.
I was going to say, you've been around here for a long time doing this.
It went quick.
Yeah.
It went quick.
And you're a native from around here too, aren't you?
No, I'm from Southern Indiana.
Oh, you've been here so long, you seem like a native.
Grew up just about three blocks from the Ohio River, so I'm a river rat from down south.
Oh, okay.
All yeah, right. Love the river.
Now, as part of the law enforcement for Department of Natural Resources, you're just, like I said, about the same as a regular cop, too. I mean, you could write folks tickets if they're messing around, talking on their phone while they're driving and that kind of thing.
Sure. We make traffic stops, make operating while intoxicated arrests in vehicles and boats.
People ever look at you and go, what? Are they surprised?
Not usually. Not usually, no.
What's one of the biggest problems that you run into in your job on a daily basis? What's the typical call for you? What do you run into the most? What's the most average?
Well, Frank, I think that's why I like my job. There's not a typical call.
Yeah.
If you were working in an urban environment, you may have a typical call. But working in the environments that we do, our job changes throughout the year. So that's really a big draw for a lot of the officers. We're not doing the same thing all the time. We're in the summer this time of year. It's hot. Obviously, people are around the water. They're boating, they're fishing, they're swimming. They're out. Just everybody's out doing stuff, hiking, camping. So there's a lot of people out. And you got to think about when you have that many people out, it's the same people that have problems at home or have problems, you know, not everybody I'm saying, but the same type of issues that may happen in a city, those people come out and go camping and you're going to have that small percentage of population that gets in cars and have wrecks, you know, getting domestic disputes with their family, yeah. Things like that.
And when weather heats up, those kind of problems tend to become a little more pronounced.
Absolutely. Yeah. Summer, weekends, high temperatures are a good mixture for trouble like that a lot of times.
One of the things that that we kind of depend on you guys for, and that's to keep us mindful of boating safety and safety around water, because that's one that's your outdoor office. There's a lot of lakes and streams and stuff in the area, and there's lots of things that we need to know about that too.
We spend a lot of time trying to enforce safety laws and keep people safe, because we're the ones that see the drownings, boating accidents, other types of outdoor accidents that happen and get people hurt or killed.
And around here, we have lots of waterways in the state parks. A lot of folks are busy. You know, you go to Turkey Run or Cataract or any of those places, and Shackamack, you're there all the time on the weekends and through the week, too.
Yeah, we may have Raccoon Lake. This past holiday weekend on the 4th of July, was, for example, was probably the busiest I've ever seen it. The beach was completely packed. The lake was packed. You're talking about probably 30 plus thousand people there in an area. So it's a small city on the weekends, yeah.
And everybody's wearing their face masks.
I can't say that I saw a face mask last weekend on the lake, no.
One of the things, though, that, like I said, that you're doing, when, especially when you're up at Raccoon Creek and those places like that, or up on the lake, is boating laws. What do people not understand about boating that you wish that they did know? First of all, I know that one thing, it's if you're boating drunk, that's as bad as driving a car drunk, too, and it can have the same kind of effects legally.
Sure. And the results can be catastrophic also. You have to realize that out on the lake, there aren't lanes of travel like there are on a roadway. People are coming from all directions, and you have to be really cognizant of defensive driving techniques and looking all around. When I'm on the boat on the lake, I'm looking right, left, behind me, in front of me constantly, because there could be somebody coming from any direction.
And there's no real speed limit, is there?
There is at night. It's a 10-mile-an-hour nighttime speed limit.
I haven't seen a boat with a speedometer on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you haven't been on a boat for a while. Yeah, no. all our boats have speedometers on them. Most do.
Okay.
But probably one of the things that whenever I check somebody, one of the things that they say is, I have my whistle, or I have my 50 feet of rope. And I have my air horn, and it's like, those aren't any state laws in Indiana. Those are some Coast Guard regulations. But here in Indiana, on inland waterways, the things that we look for, when I'm on patrol, of course, your registration. You got to have your registration on your boat, like a license plate on a car. We're going to check for life jackets. You have to have a wearable life jacket for each person. And if your boat is 16 feet or longer, you have to have a throwable device. So that can be one of the square seat cushions, as long as it's Coast Guard approved. We're going to look for alcohol, make sure that the operator is not intoxicated. And then there are also moving violations, prudent operation. If you're doing something that's endangering somebody else, those are some things that we're going to look for.
And when we talk about the life jackets, do you have to wear them?
On the Ohio River, on Coast Guard waters, if the child is under 13, they have to wear them. But on inland waters, they do not.
So you can legally be, well, be careful how I say this and say, you can legally be silly and not not wear one if you
what we tell people that the life jackets have to be accessible.
Yeah.
So if I ask everybody to grab a life jacket and it takes them, you know, 5 minutes to unlock a compartment or look around and try to find them and take them out of a package, then they're not really accessible in case of an emergency. You need to be able to grab them or get them to somebody. Quickly.
And that's something, as far as the safety goes, I know you guys try to press a lot to make sure people remember that they need to be around.
Absolutely. And you know, probably this time of year is our busiest time of year where most drownings occur. We'll have about, on average, about 55 to 60 recreational type drownings every year. And a big majority of them happen to people that maybe necessarily didn't plan on going in the water. Maybe they went out fishing and, you know, they weren't just swimming on a beach or something like that. And those happen as well. But this time of year, the red flags are weekends, late in the afternoon, and high temperatures. And that's also, if you throw alcohol in that mix, those are going to be some factors that affect a person more that's drinking alcohol. The high temperatures, being on a boat, dehydrated, and they're going to be a little more intoxicated than they normally would.
When an accident happens on the water, it's not nearly as quick for you to respond as land accidents. So if something happens out on the lake, well, unless you just happen to already be there, they could be waiting a while before you manage to show up.
Could be.
Not because you don't want to, but just because you're not close.
Right. A lot of these things happen out in rural areas. One thing, as I'm also on our scuba team, and we will go lights and sirens to a drowning. You might think, why, you know, the person is drowned, they're not going to make it. But that's not always the case. There are there's a cold water drowning phenomenon where people have up to an hour and sometimes beyond of being submerged that can be revived. So we always give them as much effort as possible to try to retrieve that person as quickly as we can and try to give them every chance to survive.
Is there anything coming up this fall as far as hunting, fishing laws, changes, things people need to know about? I know, you know, and I know I'm kind of throwing you on the spot with this, but, you know, obviously as we do this show now, well, fall's going to be here. I know it's like 97 degrees as we record this, but fall's going to be here before you know it. So I didn't know if there's anything on the, you know, in the future here, short term, we need to think about.
Can't think of any major fish and wildlife laws that are changing for hunting season. But I will also say I haven't had a chance. They just took effect July 1st,
right,
and we haven't dug into those real deep for the fall yet. But probably our first season will come back in will be squirrel season, August 15th, falling with some early waterfowl seasons, and dove season is a big draw for people. And then shortly after that, and then archery hunting for deer. And then all the other hunting seasons open up.
Everybody needs a license, not only if they're on the water in a boat, but if they're fishing and doing those kind of things too. And even though the pandemic has given us a little bit of a grace period with, you know, if licenses expired a certain time, we've gotten a little bit of a grace period, but things are kind of getting back to normal now, and folks do need to have their licenses.
Yeah, that's a good point. We had the grace period on the hunting and or the fishing license and other registrations and things, and those have since passed now. The B&B's open, our websites are open for purchasing license and those things.
And for folks that don't have them, they're really not all that expensive, are they? I mean, they're not.
Basic annual fishing license is $17. You can get a basic hunting and fishing license for about $25, $25.50, I think. Turkey license, deer license are about $25.
And you do check those.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, sometimes people might think, oh, I get it. I'm never going to need it. Nobody's ever going to check. Yeah. Well, you do, don't you?
Yeah, we do. We either get people that we check and say they got checked twice last week, or this first time in 30 years they've ever been checked. So you never know.
Yeah. If folks want to maybe become an officer like you, how do they go about that? I mean, you obviously have to have a certain love for the outdoors, because you do not have a desk jockey job. You're not inside an office all day long.
Well, I can say that people that are interested in being a conservation officer, I've been doing it 25 years, and I love going to work every day. I don't dread going to work. Obviously, some days are better than others, but I still love my job, and I couldn't see myself doing anything else. You have to have at least 2 years of college, be 21 years old. Most of the information, everything that you're going to need to find out is on our website.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can Google becoming an Indiana conservation officer, and that should get you where you need to go.
And not a bad gig, right?
No. It's,
and you're stuck with it this long.
It changed. If you like to be outside, our job changes throughout the year. We get to be in all the different kind of situations. We have cave rescue team, we have river rescue team, we have a scuba team, we have a canine team. And it's endless what the possibilities are and things you get to do on a daily basis.
You mentioned some of the different teams you got, scuba, cave, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. That's something that other law enforcement agencies often call you for help, because they don't often have the need or the resources to have those kind of specialties in their department. So they call you when they have a need for something like that.
We do specialize in water-related activities, boating, you know, in the rescue realm. We have probably the largest scuba team in Indiana. We're about 50 active divers. You don't have to be a diver. But we have a pretty large dive team that's spread out throughout the state. When we respond to drownings, we recover evidence, vehicles in the water, anything like that. We have very skilled sonar operators. We really work really hard at being able to locate things underwater as quickly as we can, and especially in the drowning situations.
And the areas you're responsible for are all across the state and varied. Like you mentioned, down the Ohio River, you get a little bit down there too. Mm-hmm. You've got all the inland bodies and all the way up to Lake Michigan. They're along the coast up there.
Yeah, that's a lot of water out there. A lot of area to cover.
And you guys do this all with conservation officers like yourself around the state. What do you say? You have 100, 200, something like that?
About 175 right now. Yeah.
That's not a lot. Indiana's not a big state, but that's still not a lot of people.
Average one or two officers per county. And we have vacant counties right now. Our numbers are pretty low right now. And the hiring process did not go through this time because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So we put that on hold, and I'm not sure when it's going to, haven't been told when it's going to start back up. Hopefully as soon as possible.
In your division, you go through the Law Enforcement Academy, like you said, and then what? You go, once you get out, I mean, is that it? You're on, or do you have to?
We have our own academy now, and it's varied among the years. When I went, came on, I think ours was 10 weeks long. It's 4 weeks long now, and then we do a lot more field training. So you're with a field training officer a lot more OJT, on the job training in the program now. And then you do go to the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy.
So you're going to keep doing this for how long before you retire?
I don't know.
Going to stick with it for a while?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's good because that just shows you enjoy it.
Yeah, I do.
You know, if you weren't, you'd be heading for the door already. But if you enjoy it, you're okay to stay at it.
Yeah, I could retire this year if I wanted to, but I have no plans for that.
All right. Max Winchell, our officer with the Department of Natural Resources, their law enforcement division. He's a conservation officer here in our area. If folks want to go on the website and figure out more about you guys, where do they go?
Probably the quickest way is Google Indiana Conservation Officers. It's an IN.gov website, law enforcement. I can't recite it off the top of my head, but it's on the DNR, the DNR webpage, and go to divisions and go to the law enforcement division. It'll get you there.
All right. Max Winchell, thank you, sir, for being with us today. That's it for this weekend. If you missed any part of the show, want to go back and listen to it again, head to our website. It's there for you as a podcast, and you'll see Max's face there, so you'll know what he looks like after you've listened to him now. What? You're shaking your head. Oh, we're going to make you a star yet. Drop by the website and check it out. It's there as a podcast for you, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.